Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
So the State of the Union's back on. Yippee! Pointless exercise in monarchy.
Oh, easy.
Yay,
now.
It's back!
Okay, that's one take. Always a joy to welcome Deborah Saunders, White House correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, to the Armstrong and Getty Show. Deborah, thank you for honoring us with your presence once again.
Good morning, gentlemen.
There was a huge controversy last time you were on. I'm not sure you were aware of this. Did it reach your ears? I, Joe Getty, stumblingly and rushingly introduced you as White House correspondent. I said, I've been accused of accusing you of prostitution, which was obviously...
slip of the tongue.
Merely my own, you know, mush-mouthed slip of the tongue. So in case that comes up on Twitter or something like that, I wanted you to hear it from me. It's incompetence, which... should not
it's
be a surprise.
It's incompetence, isn't it?
And lack of enunciation.
Or out here it is.
So was the White House happy to hear or scared to hear that the story that Mueller might be wrapping up his investigation soon? You have any idea?
I'm sure they were happy to hear it, but, you know, I don't know how true it is.
True.
I mean, we know that's what Whitaker said, the acting attorney general, but there are reasons to think that things are going to keep going on for a while. The fact that he just indicted Roger Stone, that case is going to continue. Now, it's possible that the DOJ will take over that case. I think that the White House has always believed that the investigation will not find Russian collusion with the campaign. And if it does end soon, that may well be the case.
I'm astounded at how long, I have to be reminded at how long the Mueller investigation's been going on. It's been dragged on. What is it? Is it 2 years?
It started before Mueller, of course, headed it, and it started in 2016.
Right. Yeah, but that's right. All the congressional committees were going over it. I heard Devin Nunes point out the other day that they said Roger Stone did not collude. They've already figured that out. So he's thinking the trial should be really, really interesting, but...
So, Deborah, you hang around and talk to people and everything like that. If I read the Washington Post or various other publications, they have a story, it would seem, weekly of how the president's in the worst spot of his presidency, and now he's hunkered down in a room yelling at, you know, a goldfish in a bowl. I mean, he's just really lost it. Feeling the pressure, no friends. And there were stories like that last week. What's the mood there? You have any idea?
Well, I mean, it is, as I said the last time, it's been weird to go over there during the shutdown. The door to get into lower press is often locked. It was locked. I did pool this weekend. It was locked the whole time I was there. You just don't have any, the openness that one once saw is not there the way it was before.
And for
I don't
know
if it comes back or not.
I'm sorry to jump in, but for those of us who are not hip to it, is that like I'd watch the West Wing and the reporters would wander down and talk to the press people and just have informal chats and ask them a question and that sort of thing? Is that what happens down there?
Well, okay, so you see Sarah Sanders when she comes out for the monthly daily press briefing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she comes in through a door, and that door leads to what they call lower press, and that's where some of the press people work. That's where the wranglers work. The wranglers are the people who organize everything when the press goes somewhere. They take care of that. And then you walk through some more stairs. There's a Secret Service guy there, and then there's upper press, and that's where Sarah Sanders' office is. She has a fireplace, by the way.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah, nice. And so you will see people lining up there. Do we just sort of chat? No. The deal is that you have to sort of – they don't like you wandering all over the place, right? But you can go up there and ask questions, which we do.
So then what has changed that you say is less access than you had before?
Well, locked doors for a large part of the shutdown. They just and the place was not fully staffed, so you just didn't see people. And there just seemed to be, and, you know, I'd go in looking for someone. There'd be no one in lower press. You go up to upper press, and the doors are closed. They were meeting. They obviously, it's sort of, you get, I think, into a siege mentality when something like this happens, like a shutdown, and everybody's wondering what's going to happen next.
So your question is, does it come back to the way it was before, or are they in kind of a permanent siege mentality?
It never comes back to the way it was before. I mean, that's the thing that I've learned. For example, so everybody's, what happened to the daily briefing, right? And during the midterms, the president would travel, which means that there would be a gaggle with the president, or more likely a press secretary, a deputy press secretary, and the White House would say, well, we're not going to do a briefing because we have a gaggle today. And that gets expanded so that if Trump starts talking to the pool when he goes on his way to Marine One, well, we don't have to do it that way, that everything else. And then all of a sudden they're just gone. And we just don't have daily briefings anymore. This yesterday's was the first for 2019. It was the first since December 18. And I just don't think we're ever going to get back to the way it had been before.
It's the first daily briefing in a month. You see the term dailies right there in the name.
Wow. So we're talking to Deborah Saunders, the White House correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. You know, it's so troubling. It's well documented and oft discussed that the Bush administration became fairly closed compared to the Clinton administration. Then Obama made the Bush administration look like your great aunt who won't shut up. And then now the Trump administration, for various reasons, is more closed than Obama's shop was. This is not good for America.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I know a lot of people listening. They hate the media, and they hate people like me. I get that. I'm not going to get on my high horse about how everybody should communicate with us. I'll just say I don't think it's that great for this White House, because there are a lot of people who want to cover this White House and tell the story about what's going on.
Sure.
And they're not being given the chance that they would like to have to do that. So and it's just sort of, it's sad to see. You know, look, Trump does talk to the press. You saw him in the Rose Garden on Friday. And he talked extensively. Well, actually, he didn't take questions, did he? Right, that was another time.
Right.
That was the time before. That was the time before he did not take questions because, of course, he just lost the shutdown. And I think that they're trying to regroup, and they're trying to see what happens next. Obviously, the State of the Union will give them a chance perhaps to reset or not.
Your point, though, about how you don't think it's good for the administration, it was funny. As you were saying that, my eyes were flicking down a list of headlines, and the Huawei story popped up. And I pictured Sarah Sanders forcefully making the case that we're through being abused by the Chinese communist government and its lackey corporations. And this is why we're in a wrestling match with the Chinese. And this is something the president is doing that I happen to agree with completely. It seems like a great opportunity to hammer that point and grab some headlines. But, you know, like you say, they're hunkered down for better and worse.
And I mean, look at the stories that are happening right now. During the briefing yesterday, they talked about Venezuela and the sanctions against Maduro, right? And that's a big story. And that's something that I think a lot of people from the left and the right can cheer the White House for, right? We've got these negotiations with Afghanistan. And it's amazing how sensible a policy could seem. You know, we don't know what's in it yet. We don't know how it's going to work out. But how much they can seem when it's not announced on a tweet, right?
Yeah.
And then you're right, this Huawei story, they're really getting tough with China in the middle of these trade talks. And this these are all great stories. But the thing is, it's hard to take your eyes off the Trump presidency or the Trump show, right? The Trump show, if you're going to cover one story in a day, it's hard to get to the other stuff when you have this when you have all these things happening before your eyes. And how Trump handles the shutdown, I think, is going to really give us an idea, some insight into how the rest of the presidency will go.
Well, in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about, you know, the ultimate fruit of the shutdown, I guess, with the immigration policy and the fence barrier wall. Final question from me. This is just a gut question, Deborah Saunders. Your years of journalism, very few years, you're very young. The John Bolton's pad with the 5,000 troops to Colombia, I say clearly intended to be seen.
I should hope so.
Okay, so if folks are not familiar, you know, the big meeting at the White House, the press was allowed, cameras and stuff, and he's holding quite openly a yellow legal pad with practically nothing written on it, but one of the two lines was 5,000 troops to Colombia. And initially,
which you'd have to write down because you might forget if you didn't write that down.
I just remembered it here, and I'm a sleep-deprived talk show host. So, yeah, that seemed pretty clear, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because there was something in the East Wing of the White House where they were discussing gun control. Trump had somebody give him a list of things to do, like basically seem sympathetic, and there are all those things like that.
Right.
That was not meant to be seen. Yes, I have to believe that this was meant to be seen.
Good
fair
one.
Fair enough. Deborah J. Saunders is the White House correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Deborah, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Joe.
Go get them.
So they figured out how to play the game. They figured out that the press now reads everybody's post-it notes or whatever. And so you get some messages out there that way. That's a good one.
That's funny. Funny. Holding the pads so it can be read.
No, I'm sorry. Did you see that? You weren't supposed to see that.
Perhaps you'll want to write about that.
Wolf Blitzer called that very significant. Very significant indeed.
Wolf Blitzer. Here's Joe Getty Theater portraying a Wolf Blitzer brain cell.
Hello.
Oh,
is there anyone else here?
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.